What's up, Compass? That's really lame. I'm on 3 hours of sleep. Y'all better start waking up or I'm going to fall asleep up here. So today's going to be a little more interactive, right? So like I need you to keep me up. You good with that? Like I'm on 3 hours. And then so we're going to like more interactive. So even if the message is going like bad, be like, praise Jesus. That'll be your cue. Like, Ron, wake up. This is not going well. Okay? We with me? All right. Hey, man, it's great to have y'all. You realize only three more Sundays, baby. Three more Sundays of our Lord. I can't wait. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for today. Thank you so much for your goodness to us. Thank you so much for, man, the baptisms today. Man, thank you so much for just your goodness and gratefulness in our lives. And Lord, I know for some of us, we're still trying to navigate our relationship with you, and we're trying to maybe figure you out. We're trying to figure out where we are even in when it comes to our relationship with you. And I pray, Lord, that we'll just have an honest like moment with you and just kind of figure things out, I think. Just try to really pursue you in everything we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are going to have a little interaction. I was actually being honest with that. This is what we're going to do. You get to evaluate me. It's fun. You get to judge me. You can just judge me all you want. And this is going to be, this is like the question. This is what you need to evaluate. Am I a runner? Okay, this is great. No's, yeses. So you immediately made that decision off something. Maybe how I look. Maybe a little chubby on the side. This true story. This morning, I was going to put my shoes on. Seriously, bottom button, like, broke through. Very embarrassing in myself. But that happened, right? Because the reality is, right, I mean, I did the AI this morning about, like, what does a runner look like? And we, you know, we kind of have this stuff. They have, like, very defined muscles. They have a unique tan lines. I'm not going to show you my tan lines today. I'm going to keep it decent. There you go. Praise Jesus is right. That's true. Truth to that. Now I'm totally distracted. No. Anyway, so here's the question. So you're going to ask me, are you a runner? And then I'm going to respond. I'm going to give you four scenarios, okay? You guys ready? So you ask me. Okay, that was good. Hopefully we get better. No, I'm not. When I think of running, I think of punishment. I think of basketball. And I think of the only reason why I ran was to punish me. I think of pain. I don't think of any reason to run at all. So, am I a runner? Okay, it's clear, right? It's pretty easy. Bottom shelf. That was a bottom shelf, easy answer to build the confidence. You have an A going on right now, okay? Don't start failing me now. Okay, scenario number two. You're going to ask... it's getting a little bit better. We got to get better. Okay. Here's the deal. I bought the brand new shoes. And I got the GPS watch. And I got like the little tidy shorts. You know what I mean? The runners, yeah, little tidy shorts the runners wear. It's so embarrassing. I got some of those things going on. You know what I mean? I got the hat. You know what I mean? Those weird sunglasses. You know what I mean? Like I got it all decked out. And man, for three months, I was on fire for running. Like I did it all, was running, but that was 5 years ago. Haven't run since. Am I a runner?
No.
Okay, it's pretty easy, right? Okay. Third scenario, you're gonna ask.
Are you a runner?
Oh, this is getting good. Now I'm waking up. Okay, I'm gonna say to you, you know what? I wanna run. Like it's good to run. I think we should run. The problem is, like, there's concerns that I have. There's worries. What if I sprain an ankle? What if I tear an ACL? Like I just have concerns. Like I want to run, but I have these concerns. And then the reality is, like, I want to run, and I really do. Like, I want to receive being a runner. But the reality is, like, Dots pretzels are really good. Ice cream is really good, you know? And there's some distractions, like pickleball. You know, like pickleball is back. No, I don't play pickleball. It's for old people. Anyway, I'm kidding. Okay, I know. This is good. It's going to be a good morning, man. So am I a runner? I mean, yeah, am I a runner? Okay, all right. Okay, now you ask. All right, I'm going to say to you, I wake up every morning at 5 a.m. I run 4 to 12 miles every day. I get a little, maybe sometimes a day of rest. I gather people together, actually, to talk about running and to run together. And we've been doing this the last 3 years. Am I a runner?
Yes.
All right, that was, you said yes, didn't you?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, here's the real, like, when we evaluate whether or not we're a runner, by those categories, it was easy. When we think of our relationship with Jesus, and where are you when it comes to your relationship with Jesus, and if we play out those scenarios, would you have the same response? Some of you here, right, like the only reason why you're here is because your friend or your sister or your someone's getting baptized and you're like, man, I wish I wasn't here. And that's okay. This honestly is a church for you. We want you to be here and go on that journey with us. Like, seriously. Like, we're all in with you. But the reality is, like, if you were honest, like, always be honest with you. If you were just honest, like, the reality is you don't really want anything to do with Jesus. I mean, you kind of, maybe you're aware, but you just kind of pushed him about, like, your entire life. You've just kind of said, I'm not ready. I don't want to put my faith in Jesus. Some of you are there. And it's clear then with that, like you're not a follower of Jesus yet. Now, you may become one, but at this point, I mean, the greatest thing you can do for yourself is be honest. Be honest with God already knows. And so you may be at this place where you're like, you know what, I don't want to be a Christian. I don't want to be a follower, and that's okay. Like, it's okay for now, I should say. Like, keep coming back. Okay, keep coming back to this church. For some of us, we're in this place that 3 years ago, man, we were on fire with Jesus. I mean, for 3 months, man, like we went to that camp, you know, we went to the conference, we heard a message, whatever it was. And man, for 3 months, we just loved Jesus. And then suffering came. And then like persecution came. And we're like, wow, I thought this was going to be easy. And all of a sudden, we're like 3 years later. And if I asked you, are you a Christian? It'd be a little more difficult to answer, right? And yet, when he was a runner, you were very clear. And then this third scenario, right, for some of us in this room, like the reality is, we're for Jesus. We're not against Jesus. I mean, maybe we've prayed a couple times. You know what I mean? Like we're there. But the reality is, we look at this life and the worries of this life, and the fears that we have begin to choke us, so that we begin to think, are we saved or are we not saved? For some of you, you're in the midst of that, and your pursuit of Jesus has now become overcome by the pursuit of wealth. And which one are you going to go? And you're kind of in this in-between. And like, so for some of us, that's where we are. And then for others of us, right, we're like loving Jesus. We're waking up every morning. We're seeking his face. We're getting in the word. We're coming. We're getting in groups. Open up your Bibles to Mark chapter 4. And we're going to see this powerful parable of where Jesus begins to kind of go through these soils of our heart. Where are we at? Where are you at? And let me encourage you. This is not about your neighbor. This is not about saying, yeah, I don't think that person knows Jesus. This is about you. This is about you and Jesus figuring out, like, where are you when it comes to Jesus? Think about yourself. Evaluate yourself. Stop evaluating me. No, you know what I'm saying? And this is the reality. Okay, as you open up to Mark chapter 4, let me just kind of pick you up. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes on the scene, and he says, for the kingdom of God is here. Repent and be baptized. So when Jesus walks this earth, when he comes, he's bringing salvation with him. Church, Jesus has come to save. If you don't know Jesus yet, let me just be very clear. You have a messy life. You have a messy life. And you are loved anyway. And you've made mistakes. And God still loves you. And the reality is, God loves you so much that he died on a cross, like he willingly went to a cross to die in your place so that you would not have to die. And then he was raised 3 days later to prove he is the way and the truth and life. And when we believe in him and what he's done, you will be saved. Okay, Jesus came to save. What's your response to that? Do you believe that? Do you not believe it? You're trying to figure that out. So in Mark chapter 1, Jesus comes to save. By Mark chapter 2, these friends drill a hole through a roof. They lower their friend down, and their friend is on a mat, and he's been crippled. And in Mark chapter 2, Jesus says, so that you may know that I have the power and the authority to forgive sin, I say, get up and walk. And the guy walks out of the room to prove to you and me that what? Jesus has the power and the authority to forgive sin. Do you believe that? That's Mark 2. Now, if you're with us, like Mark 3, if you see a crippled guy start walking, you can start following Jesus, like, who is this dude, right? So by Mark chapter 3, people are following, like, they're like, who is this guy? What is he doing? So by Mark chapter 3, there's crowds of people following Jesus. By Mark chapter 4, there's like the crowds get so large that Jesus has to get on this beach. He has to get in a boat, and they go off a little bit. And from this boat, Jesus preaches this message. He preaches this in Mark chapter 4, starting at verse 3. He says this. He says, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, as a farmer went out to sow seed. As he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. And then other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold and 60-fold and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And then he dropped the mic. You with me? That was the end. Like, so then the disciples are there listening to Jesus say this stuff. So when they find time alone with Jesus, this message is for disciples of Jesus. When they're alone with Jesus, they're like, hey, Jesus, can you describe what you were talking about with the sower and the seed and the soil? Like, can you describe that? And that's where we're going to go this morning. Chapter 4, we're going to start at verse 13. Four questions to ask. Number one, are you open to Jesus? Like, let's begin there. Maybe your entire life you've kind of pushed him away, and I just want to encourage you, would you take a step and be willing to, like, be open that Jesus actually walked this earth? That he may have died on a cross, that he was raised from the grave. Like, are you open? Look at chapter 4, starting at verse 13. Jesus now is describing his message to his disciples. And Jesus said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all the parables? So Jesus is like, this is like the parable of the parables. Like, if you don't get this one, you're in trouble with all the rest. The sower or farmer, the sower sows the word. And these are the ones along the path where the word is sown. And when they hear it, remember in verse, I think it was 3 to 4, it was the hard path when the birds would come and snatch it. Where the word is sown, when they hear, Satan immediately comes, takes away the word that is sown in them. So Jesus is saying, listen, there's this farmer, there's messengers, possibly me and you, Jesus in the story, who's sowing the word. Well, what does the word mean? Like, the word, if you go back to John 1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God and is God, right? All these things. So I believe by the word is the good news of Jesus. But the word can also be the teaching of Scripture. The word can be things. So church, this parable isn't just for us to navigate, like, are we saved or are we not saved? This is for us as followers of Jesus. Are there things that God is teaching you? Are there things that God wants to take you deeper in? And you're like, reject that. Reject that. Oh, I'll do it for a while, but then I'll live the way I want to live. You know what I'm saying? This parable goes much deeper than just, are we saved or are we not saved? And so here's the sower, and there's the word, and then the soil is like our hearts. It's our souls. And in this first situation, what happens is it lands, our hearts are hard, so we're unwilling to listen to Jesus. We're unwilling to hear the good news of Jesus. And here's what you need to hear. What happens is there's a spiritual battle over your life. Like, even if you don't know Jesus, there's a spiritual battle. And Satan wants to, like, cover your eyes, and he doesn't want you to know Jesus. And the reality is, the reason why you don't know Jesus yet is because you have to realize there's a spiritual battle that's like, ignore Jesus, ignore Jesus, ignore Jesus. What would it look like for us to soften our hearts, to be open to Jesus? What would it look like for you just to take one step towards Jesus? Are you open? Jesus has come to save. Four questions to ask. Are you open to Jesus? And number two, are you willing to suffer for Jesus? Verses 16 to 17 describes the rocky soil. Jesus describes what it means and says this, and these are the ones sown on rocky ground. The ones who, when they hear the word, they hear the good news of Jesus, immediately they receive it with joy. Like, this is awesome. And they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. And then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, on account of their faith in Jesus, immediately they fall away. And this describes some of us. This describes where some of us are. Like, the reality, we thought when we put our faith in Jesus, it was going to be easy. We're like, that's what I believed for 27 years. I was like, once I give my life to Jesus, life's going to be good. And there's going to be no problems. And then I realized I still got problems. You know, it's like persecution's going to come when you put it. Jesus never promised easy. He never promised easy. He promised persecution. He promised suffering. He promised it's going to be hard. But we have Jesus in our life, so we can endure. And church, there's some of us that, I mean, look what the text says. Why don't they endure? Why when suffering comes, do they fall away? Why? Because they, look at verse 17. Because there's no root. There's no depth. There's no seeking after God in the midst of really hard times and going after him anyway. That's how we dig deeper. We get to know Jesus. And here's the thing. Let me just talk to parents for a little bit. Our tendency as parents is to remove suffering out of our kids' lives, right? It's to remove pain. And church, look, there's times you need to remove the pain. I'm not here to, like, look at every situation in your life and be like, you know. I'm also saying to you, let your kids suffer under your roof so you can bring them to Jesus. Our parenting tendency to, like, save our kids from everything. No, walk with them in it. Let them see your life and how you go through suffering. It changes them. So when Michelle and I were, we raised three kids, my kids are now in their 20s, so now they're like a crazy show. Anyway, but when we were raising our kids, we purposefully, I'm like, you can evaluate my parenting, it's fine, they're 21. They love Jesus, whatever, you can do whatever you want to do. Okay, I'm sorry, shut up, Ron. 3 hours, baby, three, this is where you say, praise Jesus. Okay, thank you, Grace. So when they were younger, you know, and all kids go through this, they have like nightmares. And they go through like moments of nightmares. And every one of my kids would go through like a year of like these nightmares. And I remember like they would be screaming at the top of their lungs. And you know, Michelle or I would come into the room. And this was the pattern for Michelle and I, because we wanted our kids to grow deeper roots. What we would do is we walk in the room, we talk with them, we pray over them. And then we say, listen, you have a God who is now with you and will be with you in this as I go to my own bed and not bring you with me. Do you see what I'm saying? Our tendency is to bring our kids in. Like, I'm not evaluating your parenting. You guys do what you want to do. All I'm saying is, like, in the suffering, be with your kids. Teach them about a God that is always with them and never leaves them. When we moved here to Arizona, my son, so we moved in the midst of COVID. So all I remember is March Madness. I'm a basketball guy, so I remember March Madness and COVID, and March Madness was canceled. I'm like, the world is over. That's what I thought. Anyway, I know, it's bad. Sorry. 3 hours, baby. And then, so that was in March of 2020. We moved, so that was my son was a freshman in high school, and we moved from Chicago to come to Arizona in the midst of COVID, so he would, like, never see his friends again. You know what I mean? Like, we just moved him away. And I'm telling you, church, for 2 or 3 years, it was a battle. Like, for 2 or 3 years, me and my son, like, trying to love each other, like, trying to be in the same places, like, trying to have dinners together. But it was hard at times. And yet, if you ask Micah today, what made you stronger in your relationship with Jesus, he would say, when we moved from Chicago to Arizona, because I knew there was a God, and I had to trust him anyway. Like, go through stuff. Grow roots deep. Jesus has come to say 4 questions. Are you open to Jesus? Are you willing to suffer for Jesus? The third question, the third soil, are you focusing on Jesus? I probably should have said, are you distracted? We're going to skip that one because that one's really hard. So we're just going to go to question 4. And so we're going to, you guys are like, really? Are we really? We're like, we'll get back to it. Just relax. But let's go to question 4, another easy one. Are you seeing evidence of Jesus in your life? Look at chapter 4, verse 20. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word, they accept it, they receive it, and they bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. So these are the ones that, like, they receive the word. They receive Jesus into their lives. And all of a sudden, their lives are forever changed. They begin to realize that prayer changes things. They go to their God and not to some other people because God changes things. They all of a sudden realize, wow, I'm a little more patient than I used to be. All of a sudden, you begin to bear fruit of forgiveness. Where before you would hold a grudge and you would not forgive. Now with Jesus, you're like, how much did Jesus forgive me? Certainly, I should forgive the other person. All of a sudden, you begin to realize, you start hanging out with people that know Jesus, and you're like, wow, like, let's get to know, like, you start seeing fruit. All of a sudden, you're hanging out at coffee shops or hanging out at restaurants, and you start sharing the good news of Jesus, and you start seeing people put their faith in Jesus because of your testimony and the goodness of God. Like, church, like, is that person saved? Yeah. Yes. There's fruit. There's evidence. It's easy. Now let's go back to the third one. Are you focusing on Jesus or are you distracted? Look at chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7. I'm just going to go back to, like, what Jesus said. Chapter 4, verse 7. So other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. The disciples are like, what does that mean? Then you go to verse 18. And others are the ones sown among the thorns. They are those who hear the word. But the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desires for other things enter in, choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. And church, if, like, you and I were honest with each other, we can be that third soil. We can get wrapped up in this life. All of a sudden, what becomes more important than Jesus, right, is the worries of this life. Worry begins to, like, own your home. Fear begins to own your life. And all of a sudden, it's not faith over fear, it's fear over faith. And all of a sudden, we're like running crazy when you have this amazing God who's just like, will you just trust me and not worry? You know what I mean? I got it. But what happens? Like, what happens? Like, how does the third soil happen? It's the worries of this life or the cares of the world. It's the deceitfulness of riches. I think it's so intriguing to me as a pastor that churches hate when the pastor preaches about money. Y'all get ticked off at me. And I'm just saying to you, what the text says, what Jesus is saying to you and to me when it comes to money, is this can rob us of a relationship with Jesus. The desires for more and more money, to have more and more and all this stuff, all of a sudden you spend more time on the stock market rather than helping people know Jesus. And all of a sudden, like, you think, man, how did I say this before? Like, you think, like, we begin to worship, we begin to, like, find our comfort in our bank accounts rather than finding our comfort and our trust in our amazing God. And it can begin to steal our relationship with Jesus. I mean, that's just Jesus speaking. I'm not saying anything. Look at this. The cares of the world, deceitfulness of riches, and then the desires for other things. America's amazing to me. The amount of goodness in America is crazy. I mean, there are so many things that can distract you from Jesus. There's so many things that can bring us comfort and fun and adventure, right? And Jesus is like, listen, this third soil, like what happens is actually these worries of the life, the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the desires for other things actually end up choking you to where you have no more fruit. Is that person saved? We could probably debate on it. Here's where I've come to. Eternity is on the line. So here's where I've come. If you believe you can lose your salvation, then if you're in the third soil, you've probably lost your salvation. If you believe like me that you cannot lose your salvation, I don't believe you can lose your salvation once you're saved. But if you believe like me, then my challenge, my question to you would be, were you ever saved? And here's the reality is, neither the theology matters. What matters is today and your decision about Jesus. Are you going to go after him? Are you going to trust him? Are you going to give him your life? Are you going to like say, Lord Jesus, you've come to save me and you got me? Where it's going to be. Worship team, why don't you come on up? There's a great letter written by Jesus in Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus is writing these letters to the churches. And Jesus says to John, write this stuff down. And Jesus is writing this stuff. I'm sorry, John's writing this stuff, but Jesus is saying this stuff. He's talking to this church in Ephesus. And he's like, man, church, man, you guys are doing so well when it comes to service. You're like doing it up for the good news of Jesus. And then he's like, your doctrine is so pure. Like, you're like arguing against false doctrines. And like, church, you're doing so well. But then he comes to this place and Jesus says this, but you have lost your first love. I mean, how often do we come to this place where we've lost our first love, we've lost our relationship with Jesus? And we're all getting baptized. They're ready to go. Let's go. Get ready. You got it. Well, no, not yet. You just sit down. You can go. You can do whatever you want. Here's what Jesus says. You've lost your first love. And Jesus says this. If you want to regain your first love, if you want to regain, remember where you've come from. Remember your story. We're going to see some baptisms out here this afternoon. Remember your baptism. Remember how messy you were and how Jesus saved you. Remember. And not only, then Jesus says, not only remember, but repent. Like, turn from your old ways. Repent from the deceitfulness of wealth. Repent from the cares of the world. Repent from worrying every day about this life. He's got you. Repent, turn back to him. And then Jesus says in Revelation 2, and do the work of the ministry. Let me pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for your goodness. We pray for the baptisms that are about to take place. We pray, Lord, that as we watch and experience these baptisms, that we remember our own if we've been baptized. And Lord Jesus, anyone here who wants to put their faith in Jesus, if you want to put your faith in Jesus, will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, man, I am loved, and yet I am messy, and I've screwed up. But you love me anyway. And I believe today that you came and you lived a life and you died, you willingly went to a cross to die for me, to die for my sin, so that I could be forgiven. And 3 days later, you were raised from the grave to prove you're the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus, today, I repent and I give you my life to live the rest of my days for you. I love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, church, here's what we're going to do. If you are getting baptized, go ahead and get out of here. If y'all can stand up, the worship team is going to sing over us as you exit. So remember, you are. We are. Go to the baptismal. Don't walk away. I'm going to come out that way. If you're walking, I'm busting you.